ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28. And today's text is number 59. The chapter is entitled, Puranjana Becomes a Woman in the Next Life. Tasmin stvam ramayas prishto ramamano shruta smritihi tat sangad idrishim prapto Dasham Papiyasim Praho. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki, my dear friend, when you enter such a body along with the woman of material desires, you become overly absorbed in sense enjoyment. Because of this, you have forgotten your spiritual life. Due to your material conceptions, you are placed in various miserable conditions. Please repeat, my dear friend, when you enter such a body, along with the woman of material desires, you become overly absorbed in sense gratification. Sorry, that says sense enjoyment. Because of this, you have forgotten your spiritual life. Due to your material conceptions, you are placed in various miserable conditions. Purport. When a person becomes materially engrossed, he has no capacity to hear about spiritual existence. Should I read that again? When a person becomes materially engrossed, he has no capacity to hear about spiritual existence. Forgetfulness of spiritual existence entangles a man more and more in material existence. Such is the result of sinful life. Various bodies are developed with the material ingredients because of different types of sinful activities. King Puranjana assumed the body of a woman, Vaidarbhi, as a result of his sinful activities. Bhagavad Gita clearly says, Striyo Vaishyastatha Shudraha, that such a body is low-born. If one takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, he can be elevated to the highest perfection, even though he be low-born. One acquires lower births when one's spiritual intelligence is reduced. We know from the end of chapter 7 in the Bhagavad Gita that a person who is not freed from the trace, from the residue, from the film that is placed on one's consciousness as a result of, in particular, sinful activities, but in general, any fruit of activity, that person will find it very difficult to persevere in devotional service, to maintain a mature commitment to purity in devotional service, even according to this verse, to remember one's spiritual consciousness. It's very easy to see in this case how Srila Prabhupada's translation and his purport follows from that of the predecessor Acharyas. Srila Sridhar Swami, commenting on this verse, says very simply, Sprishto Abhibhuta. The word Sprishta here is used. Touched. Sprishta. Just like Matra Sparshas, we touch with our senses. And we become touched by our senses as well. We become, the word here is used, Abhibhuta. Abhibhuta means overwhelmed. Just like in Bhagavad Gita chapter 14, in text number 10, Rajas tamas chabibhuya satvam bhavati bharata. Rajas satvam tamas cheva tamas satvam rajas tatha. That means that sometimes in this world, the mode of goodness becomes prominent and it overcomes the modes of passion and ignorance. At that time, we believe that we have uncovered our eternal constitutional position because we have some good karma and we're in the mode of goodness. But when those modes change, then we wake up and we realize that this thing is not so easy. We've been in material existence for many countless lifetimes. It's very difficult to really assess what we are, even. We should not assume that we understand ourselves, because in most cases we don't. When a person becomes materially engrossed, he has no capacity to hear about spiritual existence, which means that we don't have the capacity to understand the very simple principle that I am not this body. So Sridhar Swami continues, Sprishto Abhibhuta, to be touched here. There are three words in this verse that are describing the hapless living entity entangled in material existence. The first one is Sprishta. He or she is touched. The second one is, therefore, Ashruta Smriti. The intelligence has been lost. And then finally, prapta, you get something. So we'll look at those. Don't want to give it away too soon. But here we're talking about sprishto abhibhuta, to be overwhelmed, to be conquered. Just by tatsangat, just by that association, we become affected, abhibhuta. And to make it clear, Sridhar Swami has told us, what does this sprishta mean? Not only affected, overwhelmed. In case it wasn't clear enough from Sridhar Swami, then his divine grace, Srila Vijayadvaj Tirtha of the Madhva Sampradaya, he writes, Sprishto Vashikrita. That makes it very clear. Vashikrita means you come under the control. Sri Sri Gauranithai, Guru Gauranga, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Lalita Vishaka Sahita Radha Shyamasundara Ki Jai. So Sprishto Vashikrita, Sprishto Abhibhuta, it's very clear, the meaning, according to the Acharya's commentaries. And Prabhupada is reflecting this in his translation here. He says, you become overly absorbed in sense enjoyment as a result of that association. So, Atha navidyate shrute brahmatve smritir yasya. The idea is that, therefore, there's no possibility of maintaining awareness of one's spiritual identity. Shrute brahmatve means what we've heard. We hear that we are not the body. But when the body becomes old, we become affected by that. Even when the body becomes young, we become affected by that also. We are very affected in many ways. And it's clear to us once the good karma wears off, then it becomes clear. At that time, it also becomes difficult because of this principle. Yesham tu antagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam. Now, who is this person? Who are we talking about here? It's very interesting. Yesterday we heard in Srila Prabhupada's purport that this living entity, although we're now in the body of Vaidarbhi, he's a she. But all the words are used to refer to her as he. Is it not? It's a gender-bending sort of a situation here, isn't it? We're not really clear who we are. Last time we were a man, now we're a woman, or this time we're a woman, maybe last time we were a man, who knows what we'll be next? Maybe we'll be an it. That's also possible. There are species that are just not clear. So if the consciousness is not clear, then the body results. Tatsangat. That's the idea. Tatsangat idrisham prapto papiya samdasham. The idea is, what kind of situation have you attained? Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. First of all, let's go on to the second adjective here. We've got the idea, the second one is, he says, ashruta smriti. What does that mean, ashruta smriti? It's kind of hinted in Sridhar Swami's idea that Shrute Brahmatve, what we've heard about being spiritual, that you're actually not your body, we've all heard this so many times. But do we always act on it? And if so, for how long? And under what conditions? And how will we do when the conditions change? Everybody has a point. Every human being has a breaking point. This is the point to consider that affects humility. Because sooner or later we may be pushed into ours by Krishna's grace. So, again, Vijayapaj Tirtha says here, Shastra Jnana Rahita, to be bereft of the knowledge. Jnana, we translate the word Jnana as knowledge. In fact, what does it mean literally? Awareness. To be aware is Jnana. To shastra jnana rahita, to be bereft of that awareness that we gain by hearing from shastra and more importantly by acting on what we hear. That's what we're talking about here. That's what it means to be ashruta smriti. Or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also further clarifies. He says, nashruta nashravana vishayikrita smritihi sva jnanam yena sa. The idea is that whatever, that hearing which is, you know, that intelligence which is based upon what we've heard, and especially what we've heard from the Shastra, that's missing here. So this brings us to the next word here, Ramaya. What does Ramaya mean? Prabhupada is translating it with the woman. Okay. Ramaya Ramamana. How else do we look at it? Viraragavacharya has called it Striyabuddhya, feminine intelligence. Now, that's an interesting concept. He doesn't elaborate any further. What does it mean, feminine intelligence? Well, all intelligence is feminine. Did you know that? The gender of this, in Sanskrit we have words with gender, like in Hindi. In English we don't, but many languages, nouns have gender. And the gender, the innate gender of intelligence is feminine. Is that why Krishna says smritir vakshanari nam, smriti, buddhi, etc.? Interesting thing to think about. Or we can say it means feminine intelligence, that you think like a woman, even if you're a man. That's another possibility, isn't it? Feminine intelligence. How do we get the situation clarified? Well, I think that Vijayadwaj Tirtha and others as well have also clarified it. It means Vishaya Buddhya, with the intelligence based on Vishaya. Vishaya means sense gratification. That is to say, in the words of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Vishayikrita Buddhi. Intelligence that is focused on sense gratification, intelligence that is thoroughly absorbed in sense gratification. And we know that that's not really intelligence, because monkeys have that intelligence. Have you noticed? In Vrindavan, everybody knows very well what monkey means. We all have to deal with them all the time. They're very intelligent. They are. They're very intelligent. They can calculate and scheme and manipulate. Is it not? And that's what we do also, isn't it? That's why the world is in such a condition that it's in. Idrishim prapto. Idrishim pa piyasam dasham prapta. We've all got what we've paid for. By cultivating this material consciousness, now we're in this sinful, miserable, such a pathetic state, we can say. So this is the idea. And moreover, he goes on, Vijayadvajtirtha, I'll just read the whole line for those who understand. Sprishto vashikrita shastra jnana rahita vishaya buddhi sangaphalam. The result of that kind of association, narakadi bhavati. You go to hell. People go to hell. Even those who think that they're pious go to hell. Was this Puranjana pious? Was he pious? He was probably more pious than we are. What was his sinful activity? What is it that led to this condition? Vishaya buddhi, thinking about sense gratification. I used to, when I was in America, I used to preach to my NRI friends that, you know, what you're here, you're absorbing all this kusanga, bad association, because there's hardly any other sangha available in America especially. I mean, here in India, it's not really any different anymore. Delhi is the same thing as America. when I first went to Bangalore, maybe the third time I went to Bangalore, by then, it just looked not different from the Melrose district of Hollywood in Los Angeles. So I call it Los Angelore. But the idea is that sangat sanjayate kama, our desires are born of our association, and our future is also born of the association that we've kept, and that's being stressed here with the words tat sangat idrisham papiyasam dasham prapta praho. My dear Prabhu, look what you've got. Although the living entity is called Prabhu, we spend a lot of time in Krishna consciousness cultivating the idea of dasyata, the being a servant. But many times in the Shastra, the living entity is also called Prabhu, or even Ishwara, if not Bhagavan, to say nothing of Atma or Brahma. So this may be confusing, because there's no dearth of people who are ready to tell us that you are the Ishwara, you are Bhagavan. What it means is that we have the capacity to realize that we are not this body and to be in touch with reality. Gradual disclosure of reality through good association. We have that capacity, but not when we are materially engrossed. What we learned from the Chatushloki Bhagavata is that when one is in Mahamaya, he's unable to appreciate the workings of Yoga Maya. And vice versa, which is why empathy for a devotee is such a good quality. And we see amongst the great preachers such as Srila Prabhupada, they have this great quality, because it's very rare among those in deeply absorbed in Yoga Maya to be able to empathize with the other side, because it's not possible to really perceive it firsthand. That's just the way Maya works, I think. Yatha dhitam yatha mati. But so somebody might ask at this point that we've figured out here what these words mean. That first of all, to be sprishta, to be touched, means to be overwhelmed, and particularly to be us to the extent that we are ashruta smriti, we've lost memory of whatever good instructions we've received or heard, which Sridhar Swami says means our spiritual consciousness, Translated into ISKCON parlance, that means our Krishna consciousness. It's gone. And therefore we get into such a position of suffering. Prapta. These are the three things. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur raises a rhetorical question at this point. He says, okay, if that's the condition, then that I've become an Ashruta Smriti, one of these people who have no memory, then tell me more. Tell me about that. And therefore he goes on into the next verse. And he says, I'll just read the translation without spoiling the plot. Actually, you're not the daughter of Vidarbha, nor is this man, Malayadhwaja, your well-wishing husband, nor were you the actual husband of Puranjani. You were simply captivated in this body of nine gates. So, that brings us to the point. Generally, when we want to realize that we're not the body, this is generally the mode of discourse that we have to absorb ourselves in. You're not this, you're not that. Neti, neti, neti. Throughout the Upanishads, this is also found. Or even as Lord Chaitanya also said, what's the famous verse? Anybody know? Naham. I'm not this, I'm not that. So many identities that we can entertain as ourselves in this world. So many options are available. Pariksha lokan karmichitan brahmano nirvedam ayan nastya krita kritena. Looking at all the possibilities in life, we can identify with anything that we want to. Anything. The sky is the limit. All you have to do is become absorbed in that thing. But idrisham papiyasam pradasham prapto. This is the problem. You get the result of whatever you invest your attention or your memory in. You get the result. And you have to eat that. In Sanskrit, we eat karma. Did you know that? Punjana. Punjana evatma kritam vipakam. What I've cooked, that I have to eat. We say this in English too. You made your bed, now you have to lie in it. So, this is our condition. Now, it's interesting because later on in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 16, towards the end, Krishna says some very interesting things there. For example, he says, Ahankaram balam darpam kamam krodham chasam shritaha mamatma paradeheshu pradvishanto bhyasuyakaha. This is the attitude of the demon. Atma sambhavita stabdha dhanamana bananvitaha yajante nama yajnaiste dambhena vidhipurvakam. Even he does yajna, even he's worshipping, but he's doing so with this false ego, completely invested in false ego. And what happens to him? Because of this stabdha, means stubborn consciousness that he's maintaining internally. It's invisible. You can't see it. Neither can you prove or disprove it. That's why we don't like to judge others, or at least we shouldn't. But if he becomes absorbed in this way, in anger, in greed, in lust, and pride, and false ego, and all these things, then he's envious of his own self, Krishna says. And what happens to him, or her? Danaham dvishataha kruran sangsareshu naradhaman kshipami ajasram ashubhan. Asurishweva yonishu. Krishna says, I send them to hell. Some people go to hell. Are you going to hell? Am I? We have to consider this very soberly while we can, because we won't always be able to consider it soberly. If we become materially engrossed, we've read two or three times now, we lose the capacity. That's the great danger of this life. When Shankaracharya says, Nalani dalagata jalamati taralam tadvad jivitam atashaya chapalam. What does he mean? It's not just that death can happen at any time, anything else can happen. And there's a lot of things worse than death. There are a lot of things worse than death. My wife doesn't like to regularly take her blood pressure medicines. And her philosophy is that, well, if I just die one day, then that's okay. But what if you don't die? That's the thing. What if you can't move the left side of your body all of a sudden? These things happen. These things do happen. And as we learned early on in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also told Arjuna, appealing on the false ego platform that Arjuna was approaching him from, evidently. What did Krishna say? Mananadati vichyate. When you are scorned or when you are defamed, then that's also worse than death. So there are things worse than death. But the point is that anything can happen, and the very worst thing, the very worst kind of fear, what is it? Nehabhikramanashusi, what is it? What is the last line? Trayate mahato bhaya. What is this mahata bhaya? Mahat bhaya, what is it? A fear of losing the opportunity that the human form of life has to offer us. Therefore we say, jabalagatanane tapana vyapai tabalagakari hari seva. While you can, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and hear it. And think it also. Seriously. This we have the opportunity by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise we don't know what we are. At this point, no doubt, Puranjana cannot figure out who he is. Am I Vidarbhi? Am I Puranjana? They're equally meaningless. Everything that we get so wound up about in this world is ultimately meaningless. Nastya krita kritena, the idea from the Mundaka Upanishad in the verse that I didn't translate, is having surveyed all possible projects that life offers and having pursued one or maybe more of them, a wise person who's really broad-minded, he considers that, wait a minute, there's nothing here that isn't karma. It's coming as a result of my own karma. It's coming as a result of someone else's karma. It's creating further karma, but karma plus karma equals karma, and karma minus karma is still karma in this material world. So what is the point? What's the reality? Kalidas, the Sanskrit poet, in his Meghaduta, he gives a very nice analogy. When a wheel is spinning very fast, I saw someone has a motorcycle. Here in Vrindavan we ride motorcycles. So they used to make them with many, 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 many little tiny silver spokes. Now they make them with four or five big spokes. That way if you get your foot caught in it, you're sure to lose it. But the idea is that when any one of those, let's say, hundreds of spokes in the wheel, when the motorcycle is driving down the street, it's just a blur. Which one is on top at any split second, and which one is on bottom, what is the point in even trying to figure it out? That's how significant any situation that we get so worked up about in this material world is. What do we do to other people to get what we want in this world? And is it worth it, really? People are so busy pursuing their own ends that they have no time to think about the nature of reality in this world until they have to pay for it. Idrisham papyasam dasham prapta. That's what we're looking at here. And he doesn't know who he is now, because he's realized that everything that I was attached to, everything that I was latched onto, everything that I was identifying with, it's all been removed. And I'm not either one of them, so I don't know who I am. This is actually the beginning of knowledge. Foolishness. Absolute foolishness. Not foolishness, I should say. Absolute ignorance. That's the beginning of knowledge. Because absolute ignorance means humility. I don't know anything. To really accept that, I don't know anything. Anyway, I don't want to take too much time, because today is we're celebrating Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, a great Vaishnava Acharya, and we want to say something about humility in this regard. In the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are many places that we can hear about Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, but in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are some nice statements given by, of all persons, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Such a great, astounding scholar and great author of our Sampradaya, author of Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, Ore murhalok Shuna Chaitanya Mongol, Chaitanya Mohima Jate, Janibe Shakal. O fools, just read the Chaitanya Mangala. By reading this book, you can understand the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, Chaitanya Mangala nowadays means something different than it did when he wrote this. He was referring actually to what we now know as Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Purport, Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur's Chaitanya Bhagavat was originally entitled Chaitanya Mangala. But when Srila Lochan Das Thakur later wrote another book named Sri Chaitanya Mangala, Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur changed the name of his own book, which is now therefore known as Chaitanya Bhagavata. The life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very elaborately described in the Chaitanya Bhagavata. And Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami has already informed us that in his Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he has described whatever Vrindavan Das Thakur has not mentioned. This acceptance of Chaitanya Bhagavata by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami indicates his acceptance of the disciplic succession. As Vyasadeva has compiled all the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam, Thakur Vrindavan Das has depicted the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Thakur Vrindavan Das has composed Chaitanya Mangala. Hearing this book annihilates all misfortune, such as this misfortune. Idrishim Papiyasam Dasham, that misfortune. It's annihilated because it's Punya Shravana Kirtana. This is the ideal. Yesham tu antagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta. We want to become dvandva moha nirmukta. So, by reading Sri Chaitanya Mangala, one can understand all the glories and truths of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda and come to the ultimate conclusion of devotional service. In Chaitanya Mangala, later known as Sri Chaitanya Bhagavata, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has given the conclusion and essence of devotional service by quoting the authoritative statements of the Srimad Bhagavatam. If even a great atheist hears Sri Chaitanya Mangala, he immediately becomes a great devotee. The subject matter of this book is so sublime that it appears that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally spoken through the writings of Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur. I offer millions of obeisances unto the lotus feet of Vrindavan Das Thakur. No one else could write such a wonderful book for the deliverance of all fallen souls. Narayani Chaitanya Ruchishta Bhajan Tanagarbhe Janmila Sridasa Vrindavan. Narayani eternally eats the remnants of the food of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur was born of her womb. Now this is interesting purport. Srila Prabhupada explains. In text 43 of Gaur Galnodesh Deepika, a book written by Kavi Karnapur, that describes all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and who they previously were, there is the following statement regarding Narayani. Ambika yasvasaya asim namna shrila kilimbika krishna tishtam prabhunjana seyam narayani mata. When Lord Krishna was a child, he was nursed by a woman named Ambika, who had a younger sister named Kilimbika. During the time of Lord Chaitanya's incarnation, the same Kilimbika used to eat the remnants of food left by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That Kilimbika was Narayani, who was a niece of Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur, he's a member of the Panchatattva. So she is divine. Later on, when she grew up and married, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur was born from her womb. A devotee of Lord Krishna is celebrated in terms of devotional service rendered to the Lord. Thus we know Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur as the son of Narayani. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur notes in this connection that there is no reference to his paternal ancestry because there is no need to understand it. Interesting idea. What a wonderful description he has given of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya! Exclamation mark. Anyone in the three worlds who hears it is purified. I fervently appeal to everyone to adopt the method of devotional service given by Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, and thus be freed from the miseries of material existence, and ultimately achieve the loving service of the Lord. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has written Chaitanya Mangala and therein described in all respects the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So, he first summarized all the pastimes of the Lord and later described them vividly in detail. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are unlimited and unfathomable. Therefore, in describing all those pastimes, the book became voluminous. He saw them to be so extensive, the lilas, that is, that he later felt that some had not been properly described. He ecstatically described the pastimes of Lord Nityananda, but the later pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained untold. The devotees of Vrindavan were all very anxious to hear those pastimes. And then he explains, this is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, explaining why he has written the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because whatever Vrindavan Das Thakur did not write, he was ordered to write, and he took blessings from all of his superiors. He says, I took permission from Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur by praying at his lotus feet, and upon receiving his order, I have attempted to write this auspicious literature. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur is the authorized writer of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Without his mercy, therefore, one cannot describe these pastimes. I am foolish, low-born, and insignificant, and I always desire material enjoyment. Yet by the order of the Vaishnavas, I am greatly enthusiastic to write this transcendental literature. This is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami speaking. But he's telling us that he considers himself a humble servant of Vrindavan Das Thakur. And he describes himself in less than flattering terms, out of humility, of course. But this Vrindavan Das Thakur is actually considered to be an incarnation of Vyasadev also. And therefore, he really is the person who is authorized to describe all the pastimes, not only of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he wrote the Vedas. He compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam, etc., etc. So on an auspicious occasion like today, we offer our obeisances under his lotus feet. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami sets this example for us, not only once or twice or five or six times, but many, 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 many times throughout the entire book, he repeats the same principle, that he's offering his obeisances to Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur and begging for his mercy. So we should do the same thing. I'll stop here. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes? There must be a microphone.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the wonderful bhajan and the class. Special style of chanting. I want to know, what is this Te Dvanda Moha Nirmukta? What exactly this line means?
What is what?
Te Dvanda Moha Nirmukta.
Dvanda Moha, yeah.
What does it mean?
In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about the illusion of duality. I mentioned early on that when we engage in any fruitive activity, it leaves an impression on the mind. That's called samskara. An impression or a perception maybe, or a certain kind of consciousness, or maybe an emotion, something. It leaves its calling card there. And it's based on the flickering duality of material existence. The distinctions, the ultimately meaningless distinctions between, as we mentioned, male, female, black, white, hot, cold, rich, poor, adi, adi, adi. These things are ultimately meaningless, therefore Krishna calls it moha, dvandva moha, the illusions of duality. But when we are deeply absorbed in fruitive work, then the mind has no choice but to mull over these meaningless concepts. And that's for fruitive activity in general, but with sinful activity in particular, it becomes almost impossible to overcome this tendency. The mind is called karmatmaka in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, colored with fruitive activity. And when that's the case, then it's very, very difficult to retain this brahma-jnana. It's therefore the word is used here, ashruta smriti. Our memory is not about what we've heard. It's about what we've experienced in this illusory realm of meaningless duality. That's called conditional life. So it's much worse when a person is sinful, but we should appreciate the fact that it's there for everybody, whether pious or sinful. And that's why Krishna is encouraging Arjuna to step outside of that paradigm, to think outside of the box, so to speak. Nistraigunya bhava, he says elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita. It's based on the interactions of these modes, and we've already described sometimes sattva becomes prominent, rajas tamas chabhibhuya, conquering the other two. Sometimes we become conquered. Sometimes, you know, it's we're always rotating in one temporal position after another based on these meaningless ideas that impel us to act in certain foolish ways, life after life after life. So the great value of a pious life or of a pious upbringing, socialization, is that one has less problem with this. Is that the obstructions are minimal. They're always there. This world cannot be easy. But if one is pious, it becomes easier than otherwise. Otherwise, for the people who are ashruta smritis of the world, for those persons, it's almost impossible to become Krishna conscious. That's the whole point that Krishna makes in that verse. Is that clear?
One more doubt I have, that Prabhupada says in fourth canto, purport that devotional service is brahma bhuvaya kalpate even for a neophyte devotee.
Devotional service is?
Is brahma bhuvaya kalpate. So my understanding is when a neophyte devotee with all his material desires is chanting Hare Krishna or sitting in Bhagavatam class, that the sloka is there, 2317, Uttam Sloka Vartaya. So is he being in contact with the modes of material nature or not? Like, so that is
both.
At that time?
Both. How do you like that, Achinja Beda Bed? Get used to it. It's ubiquitous. Krishna consciousness consists of nothing but contradiction. So the reason is that what determines where a person goes, or even what a person's real status is, what determines? The better question is, who determines? Only Krishna. We were talking about eternal damnation. And speaking of Vijayadvaj Tirtha, who comes in the specific line from Madhvacharya, who teaches that that is in fact an eternal option for some people, to be a demon eternally. You know, we were talking about this, that how do we know what a person's destination will be? So I was studying very carefully Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan's commentary. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is very clear on the matter, but Baladeva Vidyabhushan, a little bit ambiguous in some ways, but ultimately the conclusion is that it's up to Krishna what a person's situation is. If you're going to hell, even though you're a nice person, that's if Krishna wants, that's how it has to be. Even though you're a demon, if he wants, you can go back to Godhead because he wants it. And what's your identity? Well, your identity is whatever Krishna wants. If there's one Brijbhasha Doha, I don't remember exactly, but he says, you know, somebody says Shuddhadvaita, somebody says Vishishtadvaita, I say Krishnechadvaita. It's really apropos, that idea that, you know, instead of talking about this end of the spectrum or that end of the spectrum, talk about what Krishna wants, because that's really the ultimate determining factor. There's nothing else. We've mentioned already that the whole realm of dharma is based on dvandva, Therefore, it's all meaningless, ultimately. Therefore, what Krishna wants, that's real dharma, what Krishna wants. And what Krishna thinks. If Krishna thinks that you, because you're a Vaishnava, even though you're a neophyte, because you're sincere, and only he knows that, then you're transcendental to the modes of nature, even though you're not. And if Krishna thinks that you're in Maya, even though you look to be Pakka, what can you do?
And one last question that you told, that we don't know where we are going in terms of hell, but I have a kind of doubt that Yamraj himself says a person who has once sacred, once thought about Krishna, paid obeisances to him or chanted his holy name, he himself says that you cannot bring to me. Others can be brought.
He himself says
that, O Yamadutas, you cannot bring such a person to me who has once chanted the name,
yeah,
once paid obeisances to Krishna, or even once remembered Krishna.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's true.
That way we cannot say that the devotees, I mean, we can be sure at least devotees are not going to hell. Maybe they take another body. But
if you give a lot of careful thought to this topic of karma and how it works, you will come to the same conclusion that Krishna tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, which is that you cannot come to a conclusion about it. It's too difficult to figure it out. But the difference between karma and akarma, not vikarma, but akarma, that is that one is completely focused on Krishna, and particularly on pleasing Krishna. That's the key to advancement in any sphere. Because it's punya shavana kirtana, you will get all pious results, but because your focus is on Krishnecha, what Krishna wants, therefore you won't become entangled in the dualistic notions that are called dvandva moha. You understand that? That's not easy. It's not easy. Is it clear though? Anything else? Somebody else had raised their hand over here, I think. If not, then it's late, so we'll stop now. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.